Lest We Forget, Volume 9, Number 3, A Most Precious Message and Its Messengers. With this issue, we conclude the collection of Ellen White's statements characterizing the special work of A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagoner as messengers. In the next issue, we will consider her statements regarding the message, its content, purpose, and consequences. All page number references are from the Ellen G. White 1888 materials. September 1892, Advent Review and Sabbath Herald article entitled Address to the Church, pages 1057 and 1058. There is less excuse in our day for stubbornness and unbelief than there was for the Jews in the days of Christ. They did not have before them the example of a nation that had suffered retribution for their unbelief and disobedience. But we have before us the history of the chosen people of God, who separated themselves from Him and rejected the Prince of Life. Though they could not convict Him of sin, though they could not fail to see their own hypocrisy, they hated the Prince of Life because He laid bare their evil ways. In our day, greater light and greater evidence is given. We have also their example, the warnings and reproofs that were presented to them, and our sin and its retribution will be the greater if we refuse to walk in the light. Many say, if I had only lived in the days of Christ, I would not have wrested His words or falsely interpreted His instruction. I would not have rejected and crucified Him as did the Jews. But that will be proved by the way in which you deal with His message and His messengers today. The Lord is testing the people of today as much as He tested the Jews in their day. When He sends His messages of mercy, the light of His truth, He is sending the Spirit of truth to you, and if you accept the message, you accept of Jesus. Those who declare that if they had lived in the days of Christ, they would not do as did the rejectors of His mercy, will today be tested. Those who live in this day are not accountable for the deeds of those who crucified the Son of God. But if with all the light that shone upon His ancient people, delineated before us, we travel over the same ground, cherish the same spirit, refuse to receive reproof and warning, then our guilt will be greatly augmented, and the condemnation that fell upon them will fall upon us, only it will be as much greater as our light is greater in this age than was their light in their age. November 5, 1892, to Frank and Hattie Belden, pages 1066 to 1068. When you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, you will see all that wickedness at Minneapolis as it is, as God looks upon it. If I never see you again in this world, be assured that I forgive you the sorrow and distress and burden of soul you have brought upon me without any cause. But for your soul's sake, for the sake of Him who died for you, I want you to see and confess your errors. You did unite with those who resisted the Spirit of God. You had all the evidence that you needed that the Lord was working through Brethren Jones and Wagoner, but you did not receive the light, and after the feelings indulged, the words spoken against the truth, you did not feel ready to confess that you had done wrong, that these men had a message from God, and you had made light of both message and messengers. When I purposed to leave Minneapolis, the angel of the Lord stood by me and said, "Not so. God has a work for you to do in this place. The people are acting over the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I have placed you in your proper position, which those who are not in the light will not acknowledge. They will not heed your testimony. But I will be with you. My grace and power shall sustain you. It is not you they are despising, but the messengers and the message I send to my people. They have shown contempt for the word of the Lord. Satan has blinded their eyes and perverted their judgment, and unless every soul shall repent of this their sin, this unsanctified independence that is doing insult to the Spirit of God, they will walk in darkness. I will remove the candlestick out of his place except they repent and be converted, that I should heal them. They have obscured their spiritual eyesight. They would not that God would manifest His Spirit and His power, for they have a spirit of mockery and disgust at my word. Lightness, trifling, jesting, and joking are daily practiced. They have not set their hearts to seek me. They walk in the sparks of their own kindling, and unless they repent, they shall lie down in sorrow. Thus saith the Lord, stand at your post of duty, for I am with thee, and will not leave thee nor forsake thee. These words from God I have not dared to disregard. Circa 1893, to the Review and Herald Office, pages 1114 and 1115. The Lord has raised up Brother Jones and Brother Wagner to proclaim a message to the world to prepare a people to stand in the day of God. The world is suffering the need of additional light to come to them upon the Scriptures, additional proclamation of the principles of purity, lowliness, faith, and the righteousness of Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. January 9, 1893, to W. Ings, portions taken from pages 1121 through 1129. Our work is clearly aggressive. Our warfare is to be directed against error and sin, not against one another. God requires us to be a strength to one another, to heal, not to destroy. We are to be constantly receiving light, and we are not to spurn the message nor the messengers by whom God shall send light to His people. We know that Brother Jones has been giving the message for this time, meat in due season for the starving flock of God. Those who do not allow prejudice to bar the heart against the heaven-sent message cannot but feel the spirit and force of the truth. Brother Jones has borne the message from church to church and from state to state, and light and freedom and the outpouring of the Spirit of God have attended the word. Those who were then deceived might since have come to the light. They might rejoice in the truth as it is in Jesus, were it not for the pride of their own rebellious hearts. They will be asked in the judgment, "Who required this at your hand?" to rise up against the message and the messengers I sent to my people with light, with grace and power. Why have you lifted up your souls against God? Why did you block the way with your own perverse spirit? And afterward, when evidence was piled upon evidence, why did you not humble your hearts before God and repent of your rejection of the message of mercy He sent you? The Lord has not inspired these brethren to resist the truth. He designed that they should be baptized with the Holy Spirit and be living channels of light to communicate the light to our world in clear, bright rays. The opposition in our own ranks has imposed upon the Lord's messengers a laborious and soul-trying task, for they have had to meet difficulties and obstacles which need not have existed. While this labor had to be performed among our own people to make them willing that God should work in the day of His power, the light of the glory of God has not been shining in clear, concentrated rays to our world. Thousands who are now in the darkness of error might have been added to our numbers. January 20, 1893, to I. D. Van Horn, pages 1137 to 1141. I know that Elder Smith, Elder Butler, and Elder Van Horn have been losing the richest privileges of heavenly enlightenment because the spirit and impressions that were entertained before the Minneapolis meeting, and in a large degree cherished since that time, have kept them in a position where, when good cometh, they have had little appreciation of the same. I am so sorry for you, my brother. You have worked hard, but the wisdom which the Lord giveth to run like fine threads of gold through all your ministerial labor has been wanting. No greater light or evidence will come to any one of you except to Elder Butler. He has not been directly in the channel where light from the throne has come upon him. The Lord looks with compassion upon you all, but in a special sense upon Elder Butler. Both Elder Smith and yourself have had opportunities of the highest order, but neither of you has improved the privilege of opening the chambers of your mind and withdrawing the curtain from the soul temple, that the train of the glory of God might illuminate heart and mind. There is no reason that either of you can offer before the great white throne when the Lord shall ask you, "Why did you not unite your interests with the messengers I sent? Why did you not accept the message I sent through my servants? Why did you watch these men to find something to question and doubt when you should have accepted the message that bore the imprint of the Most High? Think you, my brother, if the Lord has raised up men to give to the world a message to the people to prepare them to stand in the great day of God, that anyone could by their influence stop the work and close the mouth of the messengers? No. If every human agent should hold his peace, a voice would be sent into the stones, and they would cry out. The message would go in greater and still greater power. And shall such men as Elder Smith, Elder Butler, and yourself be left behind in the special message and work for this time to carry the people forward and upward to a higher, holier state of spirituality? Is the work that has been going on since the Minneapolis meeting of God? If not, it is of another spirit. By their fruits you shall know them. I know that the Lord is in this work, and no one can silence the messenger whom God sends or repress the message. The Lord will be heard through his human agencies, and if any man refuses to accept the light and walk in it, that light will not continue to shine upon him. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. June 1, 1894, to S. N. Haskell, pages 241 and 242. I have the most tender feelings toward our brethren who have made this mistake, that is, thinking Anna Rice Phillips was a prophet of God. And I would say that those who depreciate the ones who have accepted reproof will be permitted to pass through trial which will make manifest their own individual weakness and defects of character. Brother Jones and Prescott are the Lord's chosen messengers, beloved of God. They have cooperated with God in the work for this time. While I cannot endorse their mistakes, I am in sympathy and union with them in their general work. The Lord sees that they need to walk in meekness and lowliness of mind before him, and to learn lessons which will make them more careful in every word they utter and in every step they take. These brethren are God's ambassadors. They have been quick to catch the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, and have responded by imparting the heavenly light to others. Let every soul who has received the theory of the truth now take heed how they treat God's messengers. Let no one be found working on Satan's side of the question as an accuser of the brethren. Let every bruise and wound be healed. Let everyone who has named the name of Christ walk in all humility of mind, and let no hard, unchrist-like feelings be cherished in the heart to develop into satanic attributes in the character. October 27, 1894, to A. R. Henry, pages 1299 and 1300. The very men whom God has entrusted with a message for his people have not been treated with respect. And A. R. Henry and those in harmony with him, had the power been in their hands, would have rejected not only the message, as they have done, but the messengers whom God has sent. These men were entrusted with a work to do for the Master, and had their mouths been stopped, had their voices been silenced, God would have raised up others to do this work. If no human voice could be heard, he could have given a tongue to the stones to proclaim the very message he would have come to men. Will Brother Henry consider what kind of spirit they have cherished in reference to the message and the messengers? How bitter were your feelings against them? Do you think that God was leading you? These feelings are waiting for a revival. If in the history of the men who have borne this gospel message, anything should take place which should prove them erring, fallible as yourselves, you would not consider your own errors and mistakes. You would manifest the most bitter feelings against them. It is high time you were thoroughly converted, that your sins may go beforehand and be blotted out now in probationary time, lest it shall be forever too late for wrongs to be righted. Read Isaiah 30, verses 8 to 13. I have not dared to speak to you smooth things. I have not dared to prophesy deceit. I have declared to you the word of the Lord, but some things I have not communicated in so plain and sharp a manner as the case demanded. You have not accepted the testimonies of warning and reproof which the Lord has given. You have had a hatred of the message which his chosen messengers have proclaimed. May 1, 1895, to O. A. Olson, pages 1334 to 1342. I inquire of those in responsible positions in Battle Creek, what are you doing? You have turned your back and not your face to the Lord. There needs to be a cleansing of the heart, the feelings, the sympathies, the words in reference to the most momentous subjects, the Lord God, eternity, truth. What is the message to be given at this time? It is the third angel's message. But that light which is to fill the whole earth with its glory has been despised by some who claim to believe the present truth. Be careful how you tread. Take off the shoes from off your feet, for you are on holy ground. Beware how you indulge the attributes of Satan and pour contempt upon the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I know not, but some have even now gone too far to return and to repent. The Lord in His great mercy sent a most precious message to His people through Elders Wagner and Jones. This message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest in obedience to all the commandments of God. Many had lost sight of Jesus. They needed to have their eyes directed to His divine person, His merits, and His changeless love for the human family. All power is given into His hands, that He may dispense rich gifts unto men, imparting the priceless gift of His own righteousness to the helpless human agent. This is the message that God commanded to be given to the world. It is the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of His Spirit in a large measure. This is the very work which the Lord designs that the message He has given His servants shall perform in the heart and mind of every human agent. It is the perpetual life of the church to love God supremely and to love others as they love themselves. There was but little love for God or man, and God gave His messengers just what the people needed. Those who received the message were greatly blessed, for they saw the bright rays of the Sun of Righteousness, and life and hope sprang up in their hearts. They were beholding Christ. I have no smooth message to bear to those who have been for so long as false guideposts, pointing the wrong way. If you reject Christ's delegated messengers, you reject Christ. Neglect this great salvation kept before you for years, despise this glorious offer of justification through the blood of Christ and sanctification through the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. I entreat you now to humble yourselves and cease your stubborn resistance of light and evidence. Say unto the Lord, mine iniquities have separated between me and my God. O Lord, pardon my transgressions. Blot out my sins from the book of thy remembrance. Praise his holy name. There is forgiveness with him. And you can be converted, transformed. May 1, 1895, to H. Lindsay, page 1353. My brother, why do you cherish such bitterness against Elder A.T. Jones and Elder Wagner? It is for the same reason Cain hated Abel. Cain refused to heed the instruction of God, and because Abel sought God and followed his will, Cain killed him. God has given Brother Jones and Brother Wagner a message for the people. You do not believe that God has upheld them, but he has given them precious light, and their message has fed the people of God. When you reject the message borne by these men, you reject Christ, the giver of the message. June 19, 1895, to O. A. Olson, page 1395. When you are fully awake to these things, you will see and know that the reproof of God has for years been upon these responsible men, yet they have not humbled their hearts, neither have they been converted, nor have they confessed where they have resisted the messages God has been giving his people. They have shown contempt for both the messenger and the message from the time Elder Jones and Wagner were given a special work to do for these last days. September 25, 1895, to J. E. White, pages 1455 and 1456. Those who, since the Minneapolis meeting, have had the privilege of listening to the words spoken by the messengers of God, Elder A. T. Jones, Professor Prescott, Brethren E. J. Wagner, O. A. Olson, and many others at the camp meetings and ministerial institutes, have had the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready. Come to the supper prepared for you." Light, heaven's light, has been shining. The trumpet has given a certain sound. Those who have made their various excuses for neglecting to respond to the call have lost much. The light has been shining upon justification by faith and the imputed righteousness of Christ. Those who receive and act in the light given will, in their teachings, give evidence that the message of Christ crucified, a risen Savior ascended into the heavens to be our advocate, is the wisdom and power of God in the conversion of souls, bringing them back to their loyalty to Christ. These are our themes: Christ crucified for our sins, Christ risen from the dead, Christ our intercessor before God, and closely connected with these is the office work of the Holy Spirit, the representative of Christ sent forth with divine power and gifts for men. November 13, 1895, to F. E. Belden, page 1473. I have no smooth words of peace and safety to speak to the hypocrites in Zion, whose business it is to turn the truth of God into a lie. Words and works are on Satan's side of the question. Men who have had evidence piled upon evidence that the Lord has been at work among his people, and yet these men have hated the messenger and the messages God has given him to proclaim. There is no excuse for the course which they have pursued and still planning to pursue. January 16, 1896, to brethren who occupy responsible positions in the work, pages 1484 and 1485. Some have been and are still refusing to put on the wedding garment. They still wear their citizen's dress and despise the garment woven in the loom of heaven, which is Christ our righteousness. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are friends of Christ today? Do you feel an intense desire for the robe of Christ's righteousness? Are you sensible of the filthy rags of your own righteousness? Then let the truth come into your practical life. If you are friends of Christ, show it in words, in spirit. Manifest love to Jesus and love for the souls for whom Christ hath died. The sentiments of truth are the elements that constitute a symmetrical Christian character. We are far, far from being Christians, which is to be Christ-like. We need the Holy Spirit's efficiency. God lives and reigns. The very reason that the Holy Spirit's manifestations were not accepted as precious tokens from God is that there was not a receiving of the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord has been upon his messengers whom he hath sent with light, precious light. But there were so many who had turned their face away from the Son of Righteousness that they saw not its bright beams. The Lord says of them, "They have turned their backs to me, and not the face." There is need of seeking the Lord most earnestly. May 22, 1896, to O. A. Olson, pages 1525 and 1526. Here is the secret of the movements made to oppose the men whom God sent with a message of blessing for his people. These men were hated. Their message was despised as verily as Christ himself was despised at his first advent. Men in responsible positions have manifested the very attributes that Satan has revealed. They have sought to rule minds, to bring their reason and their talents under human jurisdiction. There has been an effort to bring God's servants under the control of men who have not the knowledge and wisdom of God or an experience under the Holy Spirit's guidance. Principles have been born that should never have seen the light of day. The illegitimate child should have been stifled as soon as it breathed the first breath of life. Finite men have been warring against God and the truth and the Lord's chosen messengers, counterworking them by every means they dared to use. Please consider what virtue there came in the wisdom and plans of those who have slighted God's messages and, like the scribes and Pharisees, have despised the very men whom God has used to present light and truth which his people needed. May 11, 1899. Untitled. Pages 1687 and 1688. Those who have been separating from Christ by reason of false theories and maxims and customs hear the truth sent from God as a strange thing and inquire, "Doth he not speak in parables?" They lose sight of God and his manner of working, which is often as unexpected to the agent whom he uses as to the people to whom the agent is sent. In some characters, a prejudice is so strengthened by the first resistance of the truth that they take false positions and hold to them, notwithstanding the most positive evidence from the Word. With many there is an apparent desire to be much in prayer with God, and yet when the Word comes from the Lord, they are startled into resistance, and they exclaim against it and the messenger, as did the Jews, saying, "He is tearing away the very pillars of our faith." In their blindness they do not comprehend what constitute the pillars of faith. The brazen serpent was uplifted in the wilderness that those who looked in faith might be made whole. In like manner God sends a restoring, healing message to men, calling upon them to look away from man and earthly things and place their trust in God. He has given his people the truth with power through the Holy Spirit. He has opened his word to those who were searching and praying for truth. But when these messengers gave the truth they had received to the people, they were as unbelieving as the Israelites. Many are caviling over the truth brought to them by humble messengers. They question, "How can this message be truth? How is it possible that by looking to Jesus and believing in his imputed righteousness, I may gain eternal life?" Those who have thus refused to see the truth do not realize that it is God with whom they are in controversy, that in refusing the message sent them, they are refusing Christ. This special collection, A Most Precious Message and Its Messengers, will conclude in the next issue, Volume 9, Number 4.